Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Weekly Highlights podcast with me, Georgie Corridge-Cole. This week, I'm joined by Astrid Carter, Tor Cardona, and Charlotte Collins. So, we've got to start with TV, as always. What have people... I feel like there's a few ill people around the table today who've probably been watching lots of TV.
I had, like, a great 4 days bedbound to finally catch
really
up.
Yeah,
I was
Ill.
Really sick, which was really unfortunate. But the benefit was that I got to catch up with quite a lot of stuff. So, I finally... I feel like the world's worst Game of Thrones fan ever because I literally completely abandoned it this season. It's quite hard when you actually really love something to sit and focus for a full hour on it. Like, I want to give it my undivided attention, but, like, I'm a busy person, so, you know, it's had to get a big Game of Thrones fan. So, which is, as I said to you before, like, I'm not into, like, you know, weird sci-fi stuff, but it's just, it's a really good show. Anyway.
My husband did say to me the other day, I think having listened to us talk on the podcast, he was like, should we start? I was like, no. I'm shutting that down right now.
I really want to take it.
The season finale of this season was, like, unbelievable. Like, it just everything about it was insane. Like, the plot twist and just the graphics. Like, I know nothing about production or anything like that, but what they make happen in front of your eyes is absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah, I did actually watch it, even though I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I was at a friend's
house.
What,
you just randomly watched the last episode?
But admit, it was unbelievable, right?
I was at a friend's house, and they're, like, massive into Game of Thrones, and it was the day it came out, so, like, we're really sorry, Astrid, but we're going to watch it.
And admit, it was insane.
I didn't
know
watching it.
Yeah, what the it hell's was going a bit, on?
Like, you can appreciate that it's incredible.
I had no idea what was happening, but it is incredible.
What channel is it? Is it on Sky?
Sky Atlantic. Yeah. But and I love what Sky do. Unlike anything else, you know, normally you have to wait for an American series to come, like, to the UK, and it's normally, like, a bit of a delay. Mm. They put it on at the exact same time as you see it in America. So it's on at 2 o'clock in the morning on a, like, Sunday to Monday, and obviously, you, like, most people just record it, but it means that there's, like, there's no spoilers.
It's
to avoid spoilers. It was probably Monday night. But it's really good because you can... It was so good.
So what else have you been watching?
So I also watched Dr. Foster, season one, which I hadn't watched before. Have you at all seen it?
Season one, yeah.
And have you watched the new one?
No, but I'm going to catch up.
Have you, Georgie? Well, there's only been one episode of the new one. Is that right?
Yeah, the new one's
Did you
tonight.
Watch season one, though?
So I watched season one on Astrid's recommendation. I said to my friend the other day, he's in casting, I said, the trouble is, she's just really not a very good actress. And she said, actually, that's not true. She is a good actress.
True. I think that's true.
I agree. But she said, it's so clunky, the script. And I think, I started actually watching the series on with my husband, and we were sitting there watching it, and he was like, this is ridiculous. This does not happen. You do not say those things. And I think my friend just hit the nail on the head when she said, it's so clunky. And I don't know who's written the script, but I feel like it's someone who's not married. Or, I don't know, it's
so
just
unrealistic.
Really unrealistic. Yeah. And as my friend said, I've forgotten his name, the husband. She said he's actually a phenomenal actor, but he's put in these ridiculous scenarios that are so not true to life.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the same with her. So I do enjoy it. I am watching it, but I really struggle with the script.
Yeah. I agree. I really didn't enjoy it at all. I thought she was such a stereotypical, awful character. I thought she was so unlikable.
But that's what she's meant to be. She's meant to be, like, the stereotypical.
But no one behaves like that. No one finds a hair on their scarf and thinks their husband's having an affair. That just doesn't happen.
I think
only psycho. I can't relate to that at all. Maybe there are women.
But also the scenario that they have this perfect marriage.
Yeah, perfect marriage. And then
he's been having an affair 3 years. It's just far-fetched. And it could have been written in a month. I just think it could be a lot more subtle.
Yeah.
And I think it's
a bit more powerful.
I think it's a shame. Yeah. I think that old guy,
the dad? No, I have
no, this
the like old guy that was like old doctor, and that drunk old doctor, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think the second series, I don't know why they've done it. Like, it's a bit kind of this.
Was it not laid to rest?
Not really. Like, it's ridiculous. And
well, I think it was successful, so they.
Yeah, I mean, that's why. But I think that is getting even more ridiculous if the first series was ridiculous.
I think there's better stuff on TV.
Agreed.
Like Narcos, which I've started. Brilliant. So good.
Have you done a tie and watched all 9 episodes?
No, I mean, that really would require me to stay up all night. So no, I haven't.
That's and Lyra is the one that was on last night.
Yes.
With
Ian Grufford, who I love. Do you know who he is?
No.
He's in he's in 101 Dalmatians.
By the way, in
102
Dalmatians. You would recognise him. He's like one of these really, really handsome British actors. But I've loved him like forever. He's gorgeous.
What's his name?
Ioan.
Ewan.
Is that what you say? Yeah, whatever. Grufford.
And it's called
Liar.
But it's like
and
the new one that everybody's talking about.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah. Joanne Froggatt, is that her name?
I think
yeah.
Her name. It looks really
so
good.
And it's on what, BBC?
ITV. It was on last night at 9.
First one.
And the other thing is the J.K. Rowling.
Yes.
Written under her pseudonym.
Yes.
It's called Strike, and it's BBC iPlayer. My mum.
She says it's great. Mom watched it as well.
But my mum doesn't do Netflix, so she is completely strange to five channels. I say five, she doesn't do Channel 5. She doesn't really do Channel 4 either. Or ITV, it's basically The Beeb. Darling, what's on The Beeb? There's a new series. Anyway,
I've heard good things.
Strike, there you go. I'm trying to stop my 6-year-old Coco from saying like the whole time, so she's starting to talk up at the end of the sentences.
Oh, no.
Thing is, like, mummy, no, darling. The thing is, mummy, I said this, not I like said this. She's got that sort of rolling her eyes, shaking her head. There's like in every word, and anyway.
You've got a mini teenager on your hands.
Oh my god, it is literally the scariest thing ever. And I keep saying to her, no, like is not required in that sentence, Coco. But then I hear myself saying it, and I just heard how many times
we said it in that TV segment. And literally, I say literally.
And when I say that, when I describe somebody talking, I only say, and she was like, and I was like, I don't say, and he said, and she said.
It's so awful. Yeah. I've got this horrendous habit, but everyone does it.
I'm trying to train a 6-year-old not to get into that habit.
Hard.
Gosh. Anything else anyone's been watching?
Strictly started this weekend.
Yay!
I'm so excited about.
I'm like such a Strictly fan.
Like, I'm a massive Strictly fan. But normally
when do you watch it though?
Like,
because it's on the weekend.
Yes. My favorite thing is getting ready for a Saturday night with Strictly in the background. That to me is like, you know how I love autumn, and that is like autumn personified for me.
Yeah,
And my
should we have a bell every time someone says like?
Yeah,
we
should.
Money
for charity.
Can I just say, sorry, just going back to that, I've also picked up a really bad habit from Love Island. I say interesting after like everything.
I always say
in Love Island, interesting.
I've been punching now quite a lot. We've now started to analyse our couple friends. We've got this one couple and he is just so punching and she doesn't know that he's so punching. That's and it nice. Really bothers us. We're like, I mean, they're just so, anyway,
that's
so
funny.
Punching.
I do like that saying.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
Punching,
it really sums it up.
Also, back to Strictly, X Factor's back as well, which I love. It's such...
You're the only person left in the UK.
We watched about 10 minutes of it on this weekend, and I just had to switch it off.
But
it
the auditions are the best bit, because they're all, like, hilarious.
I think when you love Bake Off, which is, like, a really lovely show where, like, everyone supports each other, and it's all really happy, and you've got positivity and, like, nice judges and whatever, I can't go back to X Factor where it's all, like, you know, Nicole v. Sharon and them, like,
I don't think it all has to be happy. I just think
I just think it's so,
but they really exploit the one X Factor.
Yeah, that's what I mean,
like,
exactly.
These people should not be on TV.
But they're also desperate for ratings because no one's watching other than talking.
Yeah.
So they're sort of desperate to sort of have a bitch fight on stage or something, aren't they?
But a bit like you, it reminds you of like winter.
But Strictly is back.
Sorry, yes, Strictly is back.
And so it was the teaser show.
My friend actually
went to the teaser show.
So,
I actually would like to go on Strictly.
That's my absolute
life. I actually thought there was a reason to be famous.
That's why I
get on Strictly.
Yeah, I'd like to be famous for it.
I was listening to a podcast today with Anna Faris. Is that her name?
Anna Faris, yeah.
Well, Eva Longoria kept calling her Anna.
I think it's an American.
Anyway, Anna Faris,
yeah,
who has this very successful podcast. And she had Eva Longoria on it. And they are making a new Overboard. Does anyone get the excitement of that?
I don't know what Overboard is.
Real age thing.
Sorry.
You don't know what Overboard is?
Never heard of it.
I did go to a dinner party not long ago, and there was a woman there. I can't remember her name, but all I remember is we had a common love of Goldie Hawn.
Okay.
Overboard? Goldie Hawn? Oh my god. I'm really showing my age. Private Benjamin?
Yeah,
Private Benjamin.
I once told my dad I wanted to join the army.
Charlotte,
and watch Benjamin.
You need to go home and watch Overboard, because are you... love it.
Okay.
Is it a movie?
It's a movie. So Goldie Hawn is this loaded princess.
I have seen this, and they're on a boat.
Yeah. She's not a princess. She's just a very princess-y. Indulged.
I think that, so like, when I told my dad I wanted to join the army, he was like, you need to watch another Jewish princess join the army, so it made me watch Private Benjamin.
Oh, that's one of my favourite films ever, because I actually did want to join the army for quite a long time. Hard to believe. I was actually in the cadets when I was at school.
Georgie.
Which again is quite hard to believe. And I wanted to join the Short Service Limited Commission on my gap year, which is a year, you become an officer for a year. I know. But I, when I think back, I think probably I was influenced by Private Benjamin. But anyway, Overboard is this very rich American woman who goes off on this fat yacht. And she's sort of in her leopard print dressing gown, drinking a martini. And she basically falls overboard, gets washed up somewhere, and some... And it's Kurt Russell, which is how they met.
Oh, that's nice.
Scoops her up, and he's some sort of bogan trailer trash.
Maybe
single dad.
This is ringing no bells.
With about, I don't know how many children. And he tells her, she gets knocked on the head, forgets where she is, forgets who she is.
This sounds very, like, fantastical. Like,
anyway, he takes her home. I haven't seen Robert, but he takes her home. And says, you're my wife and these are your children.
Oh, that's quite funny.
And it's bloody funny. Anyway, they are remaking Overboard, clearly, because no one else remembers it. And I'm actually quite disturbed / excited.
Who's in it? Do you know?
Well, I'm guessing Eva Longoria and Anna Faris. I think Anna Faris.
I can imagine her in this role.
No, I think Anna Faris might be the one playing Goldie Hawn.
Her too, she's also funny.
Cool.
Was it like a rom-com then? Like, it's lighthearted.
Okay. It's brilliant. It's a real classic. Yeah. Watch it. I think you'd enjoy it. And Private Benjamin is
a great film.
Never heard of Private Benjamin.
What?
No.
Oh my god, it's such a
classic. Oh, you should watch it.
What are your...
You've probably seen it when you were younger.
It's funny, different generations and what they would choose, but we did a feature of your favourite hangover movies.
Yes, that was
and
funny.
And I was looking at the final edit and I was like, what? I was like, Clueless. Who's put Clueless in? And Charlotte was like, me, obviously.
Yeah, leave it. Hands
what
off.
Are your...
Clueless is a classic.
Yeah, that's a classic.
I know every line in Clueless.
Do you?
I love Clueless.
I've watched it so many times.
So I have to say, I am a little bit young to be at quite that level, but mine's more like Mean Girls, Parent Trap. Those are my like know every line.
Bridesmaids
is the best
like
movie.
I like a good Disney film as well.
Have you with young people seen Moana?
No,
it is unreal.
I just can't watch a cartoon.
I've
only watched Frozen up to Let It Go. My children have probably seen up to Let It Go 900 times. But well, thankfully the Frozen phenomenon is over in our house. But I don't think either of them have seen past Let It Go.
That's really sad.
I don't know what happens in the end.
Oh my god, Georgie, it's actually quite dark.
It's dark.
Yeah, that's probably why Coco's a complete wimp, which is I think why we haven't got to the end.
Yeah, she might get quite upset by it.
You say that, but it's a really good message.
It is a good message.
Because it's about like girl power over romance.
I'm not a cartoon. My nanny was just all over cartoons, loved cartoon. I am,
I just can't watch
really
cartoons.
Like watch my
but yeah, just going back to Hangover films, Dirty Dancing?
Yes, love it.
Is that a generation?
I love the film.
I think it's overrated
as
well.
Oh, I love it.
No.
I love it.
But you love the dancing.
I love that.
But off that ill, Pretty Woman.
Footloose.
Pretty Woman is one of my favourite movies.
Pretty Woman, literally know every word.
Yeah, me too.
I know every word of that film.
Do you? I actually do.
No, I do. I know every word as well.
Have you seen any film?
Yeah. You know.
That's like an
Pretty Woman.
Oh my god, you have to watch. You've got homework to do.
Yeah.
I apparently come out and go, you should go for him. You're the car tonight. I mean, I used to sit there as a child and just talk the whole film.
Yeah, I can do that with...
I can do that with Clueless,
Can you?
Love Clueless.
What about reading?
I read one on holiday last week, and I literally read it in a day. I think it was called Swimming Lessons by Claire Fuller.
Yes, was it good?
It's so good.
Okay.
I really recommend it.
Is that a new book?
It's new, yeah.
A lot of people have been talking about it this summer.
I think Lucy Williams did it on her book club a few weeks ago.
I think you're
right. Actually, I did it for my book club, but it was so good.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it about?
To cut a long story short, a woman who goes
missing. So I did it for my book club. What book
I'm
club?
In a book club.
You are, aren't you?
I mean, it's more like a wine club.
I like it.
Yeah. Do you enjoy the book? Yeah. Get me wrong. A woman basically abandons her family and you don't know whether she's dead or whether she really left them. And a very complicated family, their issues. and like where they find her. It's good. It's kind of, it's a bit thrillery. It's quite scary. It's a good story. I was hooked. Loved it.
On the subject of books and reading and listening, I just listened to the Oprah. Have I told you about this?
Yeah, you told me about it.
The Oprah. It's called Making Oprah.
The podcast.
Podcast.
Yeah, I've seen it.
So, have you?
Yeah.
It's 3 episodes and there are a few bonus ones. But a friend of mine listened to it and said you should listen to this because she was sort of so ahead of her time, the era, in terms of kind of content creation, and she just broke loads of rules and did things differently and created intelligent content to inspire women, and she sort of really put her audience first. Mm-hmm. And I was never a massive Oprah fan, but it's really amazing just to think what power she had as a woman and how she influenced an election. And they said, you mentioned a book club, which is what made me think of it, but she said the Oprah, so she was the first person to do a book club, and she said that they had 10 million listeners, viewers, but when they did a book, it would sell 1 million copies.
That's insane.
She said that she always measured something by the fact that 1 in 10 would take it up. I mean, that is the most amazing conversion rate. There's like 10% conversion rate. You don't get that.
No.
Anyway, it's really interesting. If you're into podcasts and looking for something, then I would recommend that one. We wrote a piece on how to treat acne scars, because ultimately they needn't be something that you carry through life, and there are lots of products and treatments available to help fade them. But does anyone have any tips, experience?
I do. I had really bad acne as a kid, and I was on Roaccutane, which is that really strong drug.
You had really bad acne?
I mean, Georgie, it was so, so bad. And I wouldn't even worn like a shirt like this. My whole chest, my whole back, my face was so bad.
Oh, you poor thing.
It was awful.
God, you've got impeccable skin. Yeah.
Well, it's, I think, because Roaccutane, it just, all it does is that it's pretty damn strong.
I had a friend who took how do you say it?
Roaccutane. And you have to sign some disclaimer saying you can't, like, get pregnant for, like, a year. I was 15. You know, you can't drink for 6 months. Again, I was quite young, so that was fine. But it's super strong.
There's some really quite terrifying studies into it. Like,
they say
if you're 15, it's probably fine. But there's been some cases where they think people who've drunk alcohol, it's led to suicides and stuff.
I also had terrible acne, and my mum never let me go on it.
Really?
Yeah, she was always too scared.
I was at wit's end. But it basically just closes up your oil glands, so your skin gets so dry, like even like
your lips, right?
My lips, like in my nose, so dry, but it just like your skin just like falls off.
Overnight?
No, it does get a lot worse before it gets better, and then suddenly.
And how long did you take it for?
I think it was like 4 or 5 months or something.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah, maybe even like 4 months.
So you did take it, so you had acne too?
So I had acne throughout my entire teenage years, like nothing happened. I was on antibiotics for it over and over again. It made no difference. And I'm not joking, the minute I went on the pill, that was it. Gone. And I literally haven't had a spot
I remember
since.
Lots of people going on the pill at school.
I can't, but I went on the pill like for contraception. I didn't go on it for my skin. And I cannot believe that no doctor ever... I think it's like criminal that no doctor ever suggested it to me when I was that bit younger.
Yeah, because doctors do. Because I remember people going on the pill.
It was literally...
And how crazy that they were pumping you full of antibiotics.
I know. And clearly it was entirely hormonal. And they were all suggesting diets. I had all these like facials and everything and nothing worked. And clearly it was just entirely hormonal.
Yeah, hormonal. Mm. Yeah.
And do you know what type of pill it was? Because it's not every pill.
Yeah, it's the same pill I'm on. Yasmin, still.
Yasmin's the one everyone...
I'm on
it's the best. Yeah, really? I absolutely love it.
And how did you... So you got rid of yours from Roaccutane.
Yeah. So I think it was... I finished it in year 10. So by the age of 15, 16...
And it was just gone forever.
The only time I ever get a spot, I had one in the day if I'm like, if I had too much to drink. I mean, one spot a month.
Right,
one a month. Yeah.
And did you have scars? Because, I mean, from where I'm sitting, I don't see a single scar on
your
face.
I do slightly here. But I've been probably quite lucky. I think some people do have quite bad scarring, hence this piece. But and also I think like people getting acne kind of at your age, you know, 30s, 40s is also really common.
I'm not in my 40s.
Thirties/40s. Like post children. Not your
hormones go wild, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I can't get past that. If
I
put me in the 40s.
I said 30s.
All you heard was 40s.
I'm teasing. And have you ever had microneedling?
No.
Is that what you did?
I've had microneedling.
Yeah.
Not to fight acne scars.
No, I'm lucky. I've never had acne.
Because I think it is supposed to be really good.
Yeah, you cried.
Really good.
Yeah, so I had a...
You cried.
Microneedling peel. So they microneedle your face. And oh my God, it was so painful. And a little tear was like trickling out of my eye. And I was like, I'm really sorry. I'm crying. She was like, it's fine. Everyone cries.
Seriously.
And then they did a peel. And seriously, when I sat up, I was expecting my face to be bright red. I looked about 5 years old. It was
really
amazing.
Yeah.
So they do the peel after the microneedling.
Yeah, but it's a really, it's not
it
a very intense peel.
And
like,
it really penetrates the skin, doesn't
really
it?
Penetrates. But all I could feel was like slight tingling. It wasn't a course of them or a really.
Yeah.
Like there was no downtime or anything.
Yeah, I've heard it's amazing.
But this was a particular treatment that loads of celebs get pre-red carpet and stuff like that. Like, it's just so instant.
Amazing. But yeah, microneedling works with the tiny needles that puncture
exactly.
skin to promote collagen growth, which can help heal scars.
Yeah.
What about you?
I do have scars. Again, a lot of people say they can't see them. All around, when I've got no makeup on, you can really see them. All around, like, around my temples, all here, a bit here, like, I don't know what you call this, like, my beard.
Jaw.
Yeah. Jaw. Yeah, whatever. not awful, but kind of crater style things, particularly around my temples. And yeah, I'm lazy, so I haven't done it yet, but I will definitely get them lasered.
I think laser is definitely effective,
if it bothers you.
Yeah, definitely. And also peels.
I mean, I just had this amazing course of peels. Sign up Shinnux VIP, and you can get a great offer on peels at Destination Skin. But she's always said, I said to her, why do people have peels? And she said, you know, for scarring, because it's obviously taking.
Mm-hmm.
A layer of the skin off, isn't it?
Is it painful?
Well, I had very gentle vitamin C peels, which weren't painful at all. But Maya in the team had a peel last week.
Oh, she did your peel.
I know,
yeah,
I felt awful because.
And
I was meant to go for this peel, but
that what I sent you to?
You sent it, and then I couldn't go. But the woman was coming in from like out of town. I was like, shit, I can't let her down. So I just sent it around, and Maya was like, oh, I'll do it. And they said absolutely no downtime. Maya had a wedding that weekend. She came in the next day and her face was so
I
dry.
Mean red.
I did not notice
really.
That
but she said she spoke to the woman on the phone and the woman said, how are you? And Maya said, my face is shedding, and she went, oh good, it's doing it then, it's working then. Anyway, Maya looks great. Maya looks great, and I think by the weekend it was over.
Now her skin looks gorgeous.
Yeah,
so
it
I think it's well worth it.
I had some peels, 3 peels over about 6 months and they're so good.
Really? What peels did you have?
I don't know what it was, but my skin is really sensitive. I think they were to strengthen it and to kind of promote a healthy skin barrier, but it's reduced my redness so much.
Mm.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's what I'd like.
Yeah. It stung a lot, but it was only for like 30 seconds or a minute.
Tingles, and then stings a little bit, but mine, she was very gentle with me. I've got very thin skin, she said. And she said she would really recommend IPL me, which is that
light. The light one,
What is that? Still a peel under lights?
No, it's not a peel.
No,
it is
different,
Yeah, it's a treatment that sort of penetrates, I think, the skin. But she said, time again, and I said to her afterwards, what would you recommend for my skin? She said, IPL. I said to you before, if you have IPL, then...
You can't go in the sun or something? No.
You can't go in the sun, you can't
wear
fake
tan. That was it, we did have this.
So you wear fake tan, your skin will burn.
Oh, God.
Oh. Yeah.
No, God, that makes you think, what's in fake tan?
I
must know. It must be just the combination of stuff.
I think it does.
I don't think it's great for your face, though, is it? Fake tan. I still put it on. I don't care.
Yeah, thicker.
On the topic of peels and anti-aging, well, I have mine for anti-aging reasons, not for acne scars. I'm not 40 yet, Charlotte. We wrote a piece on the 7 aging mistakes you might be making.
Yes, we did it with a French cosmetic doctor called Dr. Jules Nabet. And I really like this piece, just some different kind of points that you haven't really read anywhere else. Lots of different things. One thing that I thought was really interesting, I know we talk about magnesium a lot, but he said it's really good when you're aging because it lowers your cortisol levels and that stabilises your hormones, which in turn has an effect on your skin. And I thought that was just an interesting way of looking at that aspect of magnesium. Lots of other things that probably we all know, less is more, you know, don't over Botox, you know, you don't want to look puffy, that kind of thing.
You don't look puffy, what, from too much Botox?
Yes, and your fillers, basically, you know, going to see the right doctor and don't be obsessed with trying to freeze your face. You know, remember that you are you and aging is inevitable as well.
Yes.
And he does say that at the end, acceptance is the key to a healthy and happy aging process.
That's good advice.
You know, but doesn't mean you have to accept a drooping face or lack of energy.
There's got to be a balance. Like, I'm all for the... I mean, I don't think any of you have...
So, I had Botox for like a year.
Have you?
Yeah. And I actually went to see a different doctor last night, not for Botox, but to chat to him about some stuff. And while I was there, I was like, you know, might as well. And I said, you know, honestly, can you look at my face and think what you would recommend doing? And he said, oh, I think we need to do something with your chin. So he's put some filler in my chin. You can look a little bruise.
Who did you go and see?
He's called Dr. Hyatt. He's French as well.
Oh.
He's got a new clinic up in like back of Oxford Street, like Marylebone.
In your chin. Is this to get the balance in your face right?
Yeah.
I didn't even know
but
about
can
this.
Can you not see it looks
me.
Maybe.
Yeah,
looks
no,
different.
I do. But I didn't know until Tom told me that your chin is supposed to
balance
match
the end
of your
nose.
So yeah.
So now it does.
Definitely not happening on my face.
Yeah, I was going to say, no hope.
But can you see on the side? It looks a bit different.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
It does.
Quite interesting.
Yeah, really it is good.
But what he made me think as well, this is a kind of the point, everyone thinks, oh, so I need to do my forehead, like I've got all these lines. He says, no, you don't. You know, you need to just work, you know, just balance out a few other things that you wouldn't necessarily
yeah,
think of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And actually,
yeah,
I
did my nose as well.
He did
what? He put Botox in my nose.
Get that bit quiet.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
why?
He thought about that. He did it everywhere.
Is your face not really painful?
That's probably why you've got a cold. You should have just like on your sinuses.
No, it's fine.
But well, with the chin as well, I have no top lip, so I wanted to have some in my lip once, and they said, no, you should do your chin, not your lips, because then you just end up with, if you haven't got a pronounced chin,
everything
that
forward.
Just accentuates the duck mouth. So he said, actually, forget the lips,
yeah.
are fine, you want to pull out the chin.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting.
That's
yeah.
really interesting.
It's so painful,
I'd
though.
Like to see what they could do with my nose. Because you can get fillers. Instead of having a nose job,
that's
you can
so
actually
weird.
Get just fillers to balance
I feel like that won't make my nose smaller. So,
no,
I'm really doing that.
They could do something like here, or just, you know, just to... Bat, not
yeah,
just
a massive
temples
right in there. That was scarring as well.
But it was really interesting.
Very interesting.
He did my nose. He did do this. He's like, yeah, here. Yeah.
Yes,
oh, really? I think you have got to embrace it, and I'm all for a bit of... You know, a little bit, but it's not noticing that someone's had it. I mean, there's such an art, and that's why I always recommend Dr. Sid Thorpe. I mean, there are other people, obviously, in London that take that less is more approach. But I do think, you know, a little bit can be a good thing, but it's just those really full faces where
exactly.
it's so tight with fillers and
also
you can't move it that just looks so dreadful.
There's a certain age where, like, inevitably you're going to have lines. So everybody's going to, if you're walking around and you're 60 and you've got no lines on your face, everybody's going to know.
Exactly.
And actually, I met someone the other day and it came up in conversation. She had quite a lined forehead, but she didn't have many lines on her face. And she said, someone said to her once, pick an area that you don't go for. Because that keeps you looking natural.
That's it,
she said, actually, I'll take the forehead because it doesn't really affect how good I look, if you know what I mean. She said, so I'd rather focus on other areas that I think stop me looking well. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And actually, I thought that was quite smart. So she had really quite a lined forehead, and from that, you wouldn't have known that she was filling here a little bit to the size of her nose, and she had a few other fillers.
Yeah.
Because she had this move, so that was quite a clever trick.
And sorry, one more thing.
Lines.
Yeah, what this doctor did to his new thing he's bringing over from France is they take some fat from your body, so like say your bum or something, and then only a tiny bit, and they inject that in your face instead of filler, and it lasts for like 5 years and it improves. This is full of like platelets or blood cells or something, but it boosts your skin like massively over like 5 years. He showed me these images; they were amazing. So
really?
Fat instead of hyaluronic acid as a filler.
Surely that's better for you.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Because it's like human as opposed to chemical.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Maybe our children will just look back and go, oh, those lines. What are they doing? Don't we all look great? Yeah. Anyway. Hopefully not. Let's talk about hair for a bit. And in particular, hair tonging and how to tong your hair like a pro. Because if you haven't got the knack of it, you kind of think you never will. I think... You need to know the knack, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
But Charlotte is here to prove that you can tong your hair at home.
Well.
And you can't see her now, but she's pretty good at tonging her hair. I actually can tong my hair. I just never have time to tong my hair.
Yeah.
What are your secrets?
Well, I have to
Charlotte?
Say, first of all, I don't use tongs. I use strainers. I use skinny strainers. And I thread it like, when people ask me how I do it, I explain it. Like, you know when you're wrapping a present and you run the scissors along a piece of ribbon? It's like, it's that same movement. So you like take a piece of hair and you flip it and then you like run it down and it makes it curly.
Well, that quickly.
Yeah.
And how big
quickly.
Chunks
yeah,
you
not
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're not like, you know, don't really yank your hair out.
But I think
so for people listening,
really well on a podcast.
People listening, that, yeah, that's not very visual. It's quite hard to visualise.
Yes, so you take, so I take a piece, and he talks about...
You take a piece that small?
Yes, yeah, so in this article, he talks about... He says, the smaller the section, the tighter and more defined the curls will be. In the same way, the bigger the section, the softer the curls or waves will be. I disagree, because I think if you have curly hair that will hold really easily, that works. I don't. I've got a lot of it, but fine hair that drops very easily. So I take small sections, and yeah, I do it really quickly. So I flip, kind of take one small section, like really small. I mean, what is that? Like a centimetre when it's flat. Flip it, pull it round, and I make it really curly. I mean, it looked like I'm going to contest in a children's beauty pageant. And then I straighten over it. So he again asks about how can you... No. When I say straighten over it, I mean, I go, you know, just really gently for like 20 seconds
and
over with the straighteners. And that's
what
makes it...
Do you put product on it at the end?
Nothing. So but again, that's unique to my hair. Like, my hair is better with no product. Everybody's is different. But to get that kind of tousled effect, personally, I think it's better to go small sections, very curly, and then loosely go over it with straighteners just to kind of wring them out a bit.
But I think if you have, I mean, our kind of hair length, I think... Straighteners make my hair just is a different. It's the wrong kind of curl.
Too
we
curly.
Need like Tom.
Well, and I also think straighteners. Just... If you're not very quick, you can get lines in it from the edges of the straighteners.
Yes,
so you have to be. Yeah, you've got to be very quick. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I think a tong is better.
Mm.
I'm actually more of a thicker chunk, but do it for a bit longer.
Me too.
But then do you not find you ringlety? How do you get it?
Might keep it separate.
Ringlety, no, and you pull it. So someone said to me, you wrap the hair around the tong. You always keep the tong straight, not at an angle, otherwise it's a bit dated. But you keep the tong straight, and when you take the hair out of the tong, pull the end. A, never tong to the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Never tong
straight.
Too high, and never tong right to the end. You want the end straight. And pull it down, and then let go.
Okay.
Pull it down where you want it to go, then let go.
Interesting.
Anyway. Tong in alternate directions.
Yes.
What do you mean?
So like take one piece and do it that way, and then the next piece
over,
and the other way.
Under. Do you do all yours in the same way?
Do it in the same direction.
Then it looks more natural.
Yeah. And also sometimes I'll straighten the ends. So I haven't done that today because sometimes I want a kind of bouncier thing. But if I'm going for a more like grungy look, then I'll like have it quite curly, like, you know, for most of it, and then I'll straighten the ends so it looks like longer and a bit more like bedheady.
And how long does it take you?
10 minutes.
No, it's
swear my life. 10 minutes. I'll do it from scratch here if you want on video.
I think we should do a little video.
I'll do
actually,
it. Yeah. It's
but when
so
you wash your hair,
doing
do you
our makeup on fast forward looks?
Yeah,
we should do that with you doing
sure.
Your hair.
Yeah. Do you? So when you wash your hair, do you dry it?
Wash it, dry it. Right. When I say rough, I mean till it's bone dry, but you know, not styling it or anything, and then I go from there.
And you don't use any heat protection, do you?
No,
you should.
I know it's so bad.
You should. Let's talk about migraines. Ranked as the 7th most debilitating illness in the world. Migraines affect 1 in 7 people globally and around 6 million in the UK. They're one of the nation's biggest causes of work absence, and women are 3 times more likely to suffer from a migraine than a man.
I find that interesting.
But I don't ever hear of a man saying he's got a migraine.
No.
Yes, so
the whole time.
Ben gets this
in here. So my boyfriend used to get them so badly, really, really, like, as in kind of what you had, Asher, this weekend, like vomiting, has to go to sleep to cure it, and then he completely overhauled his diet and never gets them anymore.
What was it that was
causing
it?
He cut out, well, he's got certain real kind of key triggers. So he thinks, I know this is bizarre, but melted cheese, so like pizza is an absolute killer for him, and it's not the bread, it's not the tomato, so he kind of narrowed
it
down.
It says here, sorry to interrupt, common offenders include coffee, carbonated drinks, apple, citrus fruits, cheese, nuts, and chocolate.
Yes, exactly. And just generally eating
Your mum was saying hers was
My mum used to get really bad migraines when I was a kid, and someone told her it was like to do with dark chocolate. It could be to do with dark chocolate or oranges, weirdly, and she cut them out and she didn't.
And they're both on this list, citrus fruit and chocolate.
But also there's a massive thing to say about hormones and migraines, which probably is why much more women get them.
But you didn't get them regularly, did
No,
you?
I've had them in the past, but I mean, I can't even remember the last time I had one. It was just weird one-off, but yeah. They're so horrible.
Did you go to bed?
I had to go to bed. I wasn't tired, so I was just like under the covers, like desperately trying to go to sleep, and that's the only thing that will cure them, yeah, being in the dark room.
Yeah, I've got a friend the same, and she said to her repair the other day, I'm going underground.
Yeah.
For the next day, you're not going to see me. I've got a migraine, and I take these pills, and I go to bed,
horrible.
And then I have to wake up the next day.
Horrible.
Yeah. It gets horrible.
But I'm going to do a plug for Advil Migraine, which you can't buy in the UK, you can only buy it in America, but it is a miracle cure. So Ben will now take, if he can feel the sight, this talks about the kind of aura, I think, when you feel it coming, like you can kind of see things in your eyes,
yeah,
or something.
You, see,
you kind of know it's coming.
Almost.
So he now kind of uses it preventatively and will take one of those. It can really, really make a massive difference.
Although saying that, I remember when I did have a migraine another time, I took a Migraleave and oh my God, it was the most horrible feeling. So it basically kind of shuts off the nerve endings in your brain and I could basically feel my brain like freezing over.
Ooh.
It was the most horrible feeling. I felt so out of control of my body.
Ooh, that's really
horrible.
Weird.
Yeah.
But some people swear by them, and I guess
yeah.
if you get them really badly, very regularly, then it's the only thing that's gonna stop it.
You need to take them and sleep, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, there obviously is medication, but I thought it was interesting that it said, you know, keep a symptom diary, start a food diary, and you might find some common offenders. Let's talk about emotional eating.
Yeah, this was really confirmed for me with my illness this weekend, because I got really bored. The first few days I was like,
she had a stick bug.
I had a stick bug. So I was like completely out of cold for the first few days. Like, not, I wasn't even like corpus mentis, to be honest. Then by the weekend, I kind of felt a bit better, but still couldn't eat anything. And I was getting really bored. I couldn't leave the house. And all I wanted to do was eat. Like, I was like, right, I'm bored. And then I got irritated because I was sitting at home. And my first instinct with all of those things is to go and get something to eat. It's like, go and get a biscuit or like whatever it may be. And it really like drummed home for me that is when that's why I'm so
bored.
Guilty, bored and irritated. Yeah, massively. I mean, I know I was hungry in addition to all of that, but like I
so
really
did you
noticed,
eat?
No, of course, no. I really couldn't, but it really
you
noticed.
To,
yeah. That when I kind of my brain literally goes bored food.
So even when you felt so awful,
I'm exactly
from being
the same,
sick,
bored food.
Yeah. Oh, all I could think about was what I wanted to eat.
Brain.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, bored food. I so agree. I'm just such a grazer.
Yeah, me too.
Through boredom, but when I'm busy,
I would happily not have meals and just like pick.
Yeah, me too.
Or,
but
yeah.
Then when I went on holiday recently in France and I ate a proper breakfast and a proper lunch and a proper supper.
And then you don't.
And I didn't eat two meals at all.
Yeah.
Like at all, which is so not me. And I tell myself that, you know, I need little and often. It's absolute rubbish. And actually we ate on holiday. You know, we had big lunches and I thought I'd get back and feel that my clothes are too tight. But actually they weren't at all.
You probably ate the same amount of calories, but just at different points of the day.
Yeah, proper food.
Healthy, you know, like whole food, you know.
And a lot of wine, and my clothes still fit.
The dream.
Are you an emotional eater at all?
Not at all, I'm the opposite. If I'm upset or like sad, stressed, I just don't want to eat at all. I like lose my appetite.
I wish I was like that.
I don't think I'm ever like that.
No,
unless
neither.
Unless I am so busy that it's back-to-back meetings. I don't think I'm ever like that.
Yeah.
I never don't really.
Agreed. My whole world revolves around food and eating.
So how do you... And I have a question for you.
Mm.
So you're a very normal... You don't have to answer this
on the
podcast. Have you ever had... Do you feel like... I always think most women at some point in their life, or it's rare that as a woman you don't have kind of food demons, have had battles, Have you ever?
Never in a serious way. And I've thought about it a lot because I wonder kind of why. If anything, I'm like the opposite, but you just can't see it on my body. I don't gain that much weight, luckily. I'm really gluttonous, like really, really gluttonous as a person. So I'm luckily not really fat, but the way, and I have to really control overeating, actually. So yeah, I don't have any issues with like anorexia or bulimia or anything in that, you know, the kind of under-eating direction, but I absolutely have to stop myself from overeating.
But you're not, don't take it in the wrong way, you've got a great figure and clothes that greater than you, we're calling it the Charlotte effect, but you're not waif skinny.
No, because I eat loads.
But and have you ever wanted to be?
Yes, I would absolutely love to be. I would love
to
be
But not to the point
but no.
where you let it control your life, and I think that's really, admirable is the wrong word.
No, because I think
but...
it's I actually think
special
it's the other...
that you've managed not to...
Because I actually think it's the other direction. I think I would love to be stick thin. I don't have the food discipline to be to look the way I'd like to look. So it might seem like that on the outside, but actually it's the opposite. I would love to stop eating cake and biscuits and carbs and, like, all of those things that I love to eat to look like, you know, whatever, Kendall Jenner, whoever. Because, yeah, that is actually my desired, you know, body image, despite what...
Oh, my God,
think.
You've got an incredible
No, but
body.
I would rather be stick
but
thin.
But do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, totally with you.
And I feel like, not that I watch everyone in the office, but I feel like you have,
everything.
You know, from how much I know you, no, I just feel like you have a pretty...
Normal
attitude. Yeah, no, I do.
Yeah, you just have very...
Yeah. Unfazed, unrestricted
yeah.
attitude to food. Yeah, and I think that's a really great, great, great thing. And I've got two daughters and I want to bottle that. Like,
send to me.
How do I... I mean, at school, we used to sit on the stairs outside chapel in the evening, two friends and I, and we would count what we'd eaten or list what we'd eaten that day.
Really?
And we'd be... And this is why I don't want my daughters to go to a girls' only boarding school. God, I was happy at school, but I just think you need boys around to, you know, realise that actually no one gives a shit about... Boys don't give a shit about whether you ate a block of cheese or two. But we used to sit there and analyse it, and I just... Oh, I desperately, desperately hope that I can bring up girls that have a sharp attitude, a healthy attitude towards food. Because I think
this for my parents.
I think so many women.
Do you think we all have really unhealthy attitudes towards food?
No, I don't. I actually don't really.
It's because I basically sit next to Georgie, so she sees.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. I'm looking at Georgie.
Snacking
at Georgie. I don't know what Georgie eats.
I'm pretty healthy, but I do binge.
I
do. I
mean, you are. Teeny.
But that's
you're very normal. Yes. I just can't really comment on you.
Okay.
It is because you do see everything.
I think it's
because
not that I'm watching you.
I
but I mean, you're teeny tiny.
You
eat.
Yeah, you eat.
Yeah. My nickname is Henry VIII amongst my friends. Like, I can seriously put it away.
Yeah, you do.
But that's
just your genes.
Yeah,
exactly.
But then I've spent more time with Astrid than I have with you two. But I've seen you eat. From what I know, you're just one of those lucky people that can eat a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely be a little bit tighter in some places, but...
Oh, we all could.
I quite like eating,
yeah.
So...
No, great. No, but I think, I don't know.
But I think it's taken time to, like, develop a healthy relationship with food. My sister, who's 16 months older than me, she was about 5 or 6 years ago, she was very, very anorexic. She was in hospital for like almost a year. So it's something that rings quite like true to me. She's so well now, she's getting married. Like, if you saw her, she's like about size 14, 16, you'd never think that she had been ill. So it's something that, you know, in our family is quite an issue.
Wow.
So something I've always been aware of, and, you know.
Do you think that made you really like... not go in that direction? Like, was it a horror story for you to kind of learn from?
To be honest, at the time, this is a really horrible thing to say, I hope you're not listening, but I kind of like zoned out
because I
must have been like first, second year of uni, so I kind of was not really with her and I kind of just didn't really want to get like accept it was happening, kind of wanted to zone myself out a bit. But it was not a good time, you know. She was, I mean, I think at her lightest she was like 37 kilos.
Oh,
what is that insane?
Oh, that's tiny.
Like, bearing in mind, she's like my height. She's like
five, under 7 stone, right?
Much.
Oh my god, like
that's well under 7 stone.
5-6 stone or something. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's hospitalised.
Yeah. So it was really bad. But you know, we all have issues with food, really. You know.
But that's it. I feel like as a woman, I mean, God, I've had my moments, and yeah, I feel like those are sort of long behind me. But I feel like as a woman, it's a really real thing to deal with, and with the media as it is, it's only going to get worse. And yeah, I just
I had it on the flip side when I was at school, because I was so thin, but completely naturally, I've just got one of those small bodies. But people probably did think I had an eating disorder, and I absolutely did not.
Yeah.
It's just my genetic makeup.
I think it's in your friends. Like, I think that was really interesting what you just said about your friends. Like, my friends and I have always been obsessed with food, and it's always been such a big focus of our social life, and my family as well. If that's kind of what you're around, and look, everybody's got their own problems, it can't always work like that. But I think if food is like a positive, happy thing amongst you and the people you're with, then you kind of benefit from that.
I mean, I think in an ideal
world,
yeah. I think for me, being at a girls' only boarding school has probably, and I'm not knocking them all, and as I said, I was so happy at school, but I when I got to university, there were quite a lot of girls in my year who'd been at a mixed boarding school, and I remember being really kind of envious of just how relaxed they were around the opposite sex, and how they didn't have to put loads of, not that I would always make up for lectures at all, quite the opposite, but I just remember seeing how they turned up with all these friends who were guys that they were just themselves with, and they didn't.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all went to girls'
school. Yeah. Whereas we spent our week planning what we were going to wear for the weekend, practicing our makeup for Saturday night,
and we were obsessed with boys. Yeah, I mean, we'd write lists about boys.
We'd bring them. Oh God, I mean, but actually, and I think it's healthy. And my cousin's another one. She went to mixed boarding school, and the boys, they don't want bitchiness or girls fussing. They want good banter, girls playing sport in the evening, having a laugh. I think that's a really positive thing.
My last 2 years of uni, I lived with boys, just because I hated living with girls. They were just, for that reason, bitchy, competitive, and guys are just so down to earth.
Yeah, and they just don't want to hear it. That doesn't make a girl. And I think that's the other thing about university, is I realised that a girl isn't attractive to a guy by procrastinating and getting hung up on those things. That makes them less attractive.
Exactly.
And I met my husband during the ski season, and I remember the first time, God, I remember really flirting, like we were skiing. I mean, who flirts while you're skiing? But I remember mucking around with our ski, I don't know what it was, I think it was the first moment when I was like, And yeah, that was skiing. I mean, who'd have thought? I'd have thought I'd meet a guy being out in London on a Saturday night, not skiing, not sitting on a chairlift hungover and... You know.
Yeah, but that was you. You know, he probably saw you as some right, like in that moment, chilled out, like you know, not trying to be anyone or be anything.
More on the topic of food. We're quite food heavy this week.
Yes.
We were quite fashion heavy last week, so I think that's okay. Eating alone, a table for one. So we've been recruiting new members of the editorial team over the last however many weeks, couple of months, and the task that Astrid and I have set them is to write a piece on why there shouldn't be stigma around a table for one, which is quite a good task.
Why did you choose that out of interest?
Because I wanted to choose something that was intelligent, but that wasn't too political. Mm-hmm.
And they can kind of make it what they want.
Yes.
So it could be really op-ed. It
could be funny,
Be funny, it could bring in interviewees. Like, I don't know, they can really kind of show their skills,
and
that's what we're looking for.
And it's quite tricky. Mm. And the candidate, Rosie, that joined us, I mean, she completely nailed it and stood out from all the rest.
Well, I want to read her.
Yeah.
This is it.
I just think it's quite an interesting thing, because I would never go into a restaurant and ask for a table for one. I mean, just never, never, never. My dad always used to say to me when he travelled that he ate out in restaurants in the evening on his own, and I'd be like, oh my God, that makes me really sad.
Me too.
And he'd say to me, he'd be like, darling, well, I've had meetings all day and I've been talking all day. It's like the idea that I can sit down with my papers and just have a bit of time to myself is absolute bliss. And my husband, he doesn't travel loads with work, he was in some really unglamorous regional hotel, and he said, I'm going to go down and have dinner. I was like, oh my God, don't go on your own, just get room service. And he was like, no, I'm going to be grown up, actually. So I'm going to go, I've got my iPad, I've got some emails, I'm going to go. And he had a really nice time and started chatting to someone at the bar. would you go to table for one?
Yes, I would.
Would you though?
Okay, so I have been out for lunch by myself a couple of times. If, for example, I've been...
But is it like circumstantial? Because, I don't know, you've got an hour or something to kill and you need to eat.
Yeah, I'm not talking in between.
No, I don't mean like that. I mean, like, if I fancy going to... if I fancy kind of going, you know, back in my non-working days, fancy going to Selfridges for the day or something. I mean, when I was a student, not in some, like, blissful period of unemployment that didn't exist. So, yeah, when I, you know, if I had, like, the odd day in London in the holidays or something, yeah, I would absolutely go to Selfridges or something, go shopping, and then, yeah, go for lunch by myself quite happily.
I think it's slightly different.
Lunch is, that was what I was going to say. Lunch is different.
But to me, there's a real, even lunch, there's a real fine line between what is acceptable. And to me, acceptable kind of ends at Itsu.
Yeah,
like sitting fret, having your
lunch. I went to the Itsu in Draker Avenue, which I think is just shut, which was a Itsu restaurant. And I did that once by myself.
No, I was sat in like Aubaine in Selfridges alone and had lunch. Astrid and I went to the Joseph show last Fashion Week, and it was like, I had been at a wedding the night before, and I was like really hot and like flustered and tired. And I went to Black Row by myself for like an hour.
Went to Black Row?
Yeah, afterwards, because I had some time to kill. I was actually meeting Maya like later. So yeah, and I was really, really hungry. And I went to Black Row for an hour, and it was so
nice.
So
what do you do while you're sitting there?
Sat on my phone.
Yeah. I mean, you can't have your phone.
Yeah, oh my God, I would never do it. without.
Would you take
technology.
A magazine?
Yeah, absolutely. I take my iPad.
Would you?
Sometimes Ben and I will go for brunch on the weekend and both take our iPads. I know that's not the same thing, but yeah, I mean, more than happily.
I've done it once. I love it. But it was because I had to. So I was in Amsterdam and I was meeting friends there, but they were flying in from Jersey. Their flight got cancelled, so I was there for the whole day on my own. They didn't actually arrive till midnight. I was like, that's such walling.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I'm going to have to eat something. The hotel had shit room service. So I went down to like a restaurant around the corner and I felt like such a wally.
Did you? Really?
Yeah. Earlier, before that, it was a really beautiful day and I went and found like a really lovely like wine bar with an outdoor area and I quite happily sat and like read a magazine and had a glass of wine. But when I went for dinner, I just felt like such a wally.
Yeah, there's something about in the day, I feel it's easier. Much easier.
Yeah,
exactly. I could not, like on a Thursday evening, but I'm going to take myself. I mean,
I agree. I would never do that.
I couldn't order alcohol on my own either. I can
I
could
do that.
Yeah. Well, if you're like meeting for someone, like if you're meeting someone in a bar,
if they're coming, I do it. But no.
No?
I agree. I would never take myself out for dinner. That's, that would be weird.
But I think,
I'm out and I'm hungry,
but
I have no problem just going.
Well, anyway, so this piece basically said that being alone doesn't mean being lonely, and that a recent study by Open Table revealed that reservations for parties of one grew by 62%.
That's sad. I wouldn't make reservations.
The saddest phrase ever.
Yeah. Sorry, parties of one grew by 62%.
Bloody hell.
In 2015, with numbers climbing higher ever since. And actually, in this crazy world that we live in, where there's no peace and quiet, you know, you could perhaps write about it. Whether you do it is another thing. But I think another point to make is that, you know, there are lots of restaurants doing bar service. So potentially, that is best. When my husband said he was going out for dinner, he did actually end up eating at the bar, which I think is okay.
Yeah.
And there are places like Farafina in Soho.
But I think that's a bit sadder.
Where?
To go to a Michelin star restaurant by yourself is quite tragic.
It is Michelin star, but it's not like...
No, it is, but it's
not
about...
Like tablecloth.
But it's like it's an experience that should be enjoyed with another person.
I was about to say, I'd want to share it with someone else.
Yeah,
I was
exactly.
about to say.
Yeah, well...
Rosfina is actually one of my favourite restaurants.
Would you go below?
Do
you like it that much?
Also, like, if I'm home alone and I want something nice to eat, I'll just, if I want...
Me too, I would not go out.
I'll just get, like, a delivery.
I agree.
For one, that's fine.
Agreed.
So, we're going to finish on two home-related topics. One is on how to style cushions, because from soft chevrons to playful star prints, cushions can upgrade a tired sofa or enhance a bed instantly. And we interviewed Tori Murphy, who designs fabulous cushions. I'm laughing about enhancing a bed. I remember watching something once many years ago that stuck with me, which was a man, it was in a film.
Yeah, it's Ben Stiller.
It's
in Along Came Polly.
Oh, I know what you mean.
It's like
and
man,
it was Deborah Messing, and he destroys all the pillows off the bed.
But, yes.
I promise you, it's that.
They say, do you know how many hours in your lifetime you spend carrying cushions?
Yeah, because his job is risk assessment.
Yeah.
So he's like worked it out.
Yeah.
So and he says, do you know how many hours in your lifetime, or maybe it's even days, that you spend taking the pillows off your bed before you go to bed and putting them on your bed? But they have to be done in quite a particular way. I'm really anal about my cushions. I have to have the zips down. And I used to think you could have one print and then one colour.
Mm.
But actually an interior designer taught me that really you want a couple of prints and you want a few different colours. I remember always thinking it was pink and grey, or it was, you know, grey and...
You can't think of any other colours.
Green or
mine on my sofa are embarrassingly pink and grey.
Teal and gold or whatever. But actually, she was like, you need more going on in there. It's too uniform.
Yeah.
Try and bring in two prints. Mm-hmm. And I always had this thing that you could only have one print in a room. She taught me that actually you can clash prints and it really works.
That's cool.
And cushions is a really good way to do that.
I really want some velvet cushions. That's what I'm on the hunt for.
H&M. Great velvet cushions.
Oh, really?
You want to spend a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Loads.
Cox had some really nice ones.
Do you like my cushions to be the same on the front and the back, though? I feel like that's the cheap giveaway.
Yes.
Or if you want cushions made, find some fabric. And I've got an upholsterer who is amazing. He's so cheap. I hope he's not listening, so I don't need to put his prices up. But he made cushions. I had a quote from the woman who made my curtains once upon a time, 50 quid a cushion, 10 quid a cushion.
Oh, wow.
It's hyped.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
So if you find some fabric, he's
Cool.
brilliant. Such a nice guy.
Cool.
Good to know.
Is there anything else to say about cushions? I've got another cushion tip. Not sure this is going to make it. But my other cushion tip is always go for an inner, a size bigger than the size of your cushion.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
My dad,
you don't
that.
Want a, like, a saggy cushion,
yeah.
Do you?
Interesting. It's such a giveaway.
Yeah. You want them to be really, like, plump. And
yeah,
and
I used a really good, another curtain lady. She didn't know this tip. And I actually bought my cushions and they were really
floppy.
Not nothing, they just look really cheap.
Yeah.
Also, Sophie Patterson will say you got to dart them from the top. I go from the side.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean dart them?
So they're like got little like.
So they have to be a shape. So she likes her cushions like that.
Okay, just
for this
is a diagram.
So she, oh no, no, so she karate chops them, sorry. So if this is your cushion.
Oh, sorry, when you just
she karate
it.
Chops
yes.
Got
it, got
the
it, got
middle.
It.
Oh,
okay.
So it goes like a V. I karate chop at the side.
Got it, okay.
And they've all got to be the same, signing up the same way.
Yes.
I'm really anal. The other thing on the topic of home. It's the e-cloth.
I bought
oh
one.
God,
did you?
E-cloth.
How good is the e-cloth?
I haven't used it yet.
Can
I
everyone
did
stop
it.
Talking about the e-cloth now when we finally covered it in the podcast?
Why
like,
do you not have one?
No, I don't. I know you're going
to
tell
well,
me.
Well, get an e-cloth, Charlotte, and then you might get it. So this is...
I can't wait to use it.
This is a story around the other day. Only because I was talking to some friends and they said I can't get my shower screen so shiny. And I've got a shower in my kind of guest loo. And she said, why is your shower screen always so shiny? And I was like, what's an e-cloth? She's like, what? And we then had this whole discussion about e-cloths. I mean, she's now got e-cloths. She's like, oh my God, e-cloths have changed my life.
Yeah.
So at that moment, I was like, Astrid, we need to write about e-cloths. They're completely revolutionary.
So you have them, Astrid?
No, but I'm going to get some.
Okay. Amazon. I bought one on Amazon.
You basically don't really need any chemical cleaning products. And they're made with these really fine, high-quality fibres. And the fibres break up and remove grease and dirt way better than any spray will. So like mirrors, taps, glass, work surfaces, hobs, they're amazing. You can even get an e-cloth mop.
And do you still
that.
Use a spray
that. No, you just
damp,
use water
to dampen it.
Which
yeah.
is so it's much
really?
Better for
yeah.
your, you know,
yeah,
loop,
stuff
pollution.
Yeah.
Much better. And then with the mop you just rip off, it's like a sort of velcroed
yeah.
thing.
So
you just rip it off and stick it in the washing machine.
It's genius.
So it's really hygienic. So people go, oh, but there's no detergent. But you put this thing in the wash every time. Whereas with a mop, you're just
yeah, mops are
great. Same
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gross stuff in your
yeah, no, I was sold. I was straight in.
Have you used it?
No, I haven't. The only issue I had is I went to buy one, and there's a lot. Oh, you put this is the general purpose one, but you can get a bathroom one, a kitchen one,
okay.
a pack
loads.
Of three, but everything like special ones. There's lots of different ones.
Right.
I bought a bathroom one. Because my shower screen is my issue.
Is that what you have as well, a bathroom one?
I think as far as the cloths go, I just have general purpose.
Right.
Okay.
Cloths. I have a lot of them. They all go in the washing machine every time my cleaner comes, but they are brilliant and they are scientifically proven to remove 99% of bacteria. So there you go. So on that note, that's it for this week. If you have any feedback, then do email podcast@sheerlarts.com. And do please, if you could forgive us for the e-cloth chat, do please. Rate, review, and subscribe to the Sheer Luxe Highlights podcast on iTunes. See you next time.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.